Ezekiel by John Palfrey, pages 51 to 56. Ezekiel commissioned and instructed, which is chapter 2, verse 3 to chapter 3, verse 14. Having been thus strengthened, Ezekiel is instructed as to the work before him. The mission of Jesus was unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ezekiel was sent to the children of Israel in the captivity. His work was to be difficult. He was being sent to a people who were impudent, stiff-hearted, and a rebellious nation, which throughout their history had persistently transgressed against Yahweh, who had chosen them and blessed them. Ezekiel's message to these people would fall on deaf ears, but whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, Ezekiel must declare the message of Yahweh. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. The words which Ezekiel spoke were to be proclaimed as the words of Yahweh himself. So he is told that thou shalt speak my words unto them. As in the case of Jesus, so it was with Ezekiel. He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. There would no doubt be a remnant in Israel who would respond to the preaching of Ezekiel, but for the most part he would be rejected. He is given assurance, however, that the time would come when they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. When the terrible calamities overtook Israel, when these Jews of the captivity heard of the fall of Jerusalem and saw the captives arriving to join them in exile, they would be compelled to admit that Ezekiel was God's prophet. Meanwhile, Ezekiel's mission was to be difficult, but he is exhorted, Son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. The words here rendered briars and thorns occur once only in Scripture and are not the usual Hebrew words for briars and thorns. But their association with scorpions seems to support the idea that here we have a group of things to be found in the wilderness. Israel is frequently presented in Scripture as a barren wilderness, and Ezekiel is to witness in this wilderness. Micah, speaking prophetically of Israel at the time of Jesus, declared, "The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity." And the same was true of Ezekiel's day. Ezekiel was the watchman, and the day of judgment upon Israel, of which he spoke subsequently, burned up the thorns and briars. All these things are taking place in the vision. The cherubic chariot with the glory of Yahweh is still before the prophet, and he is now strong, filled with the Spirit, and standing upon his feet. He has been commissioned to share in the things about to take place in Israel by speaking of God's impending judgments to the people. And at this stage, Ezekiel sees a new development in the vision. When I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. We do not imagine this to be a separate vision of a detached hand bringing the roll to the prophet. The word sent in verse 9 is the same as that rendered put forth in Genesis 3, and there can be no doubt that the hand put forth in Ezekiel's vision belongs to the appearance of Adam on the throne. This roll which he saw in the hand of the representation of Yahweh's glory on the throne becomes part of Ezekiel because, as we shall see, he proceeds to eat it. The book is opened so that Ezekiel can see it, and being opened, he sees written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. In Jerusalem, Jeremiah, in obedience to God, caused a roll of a book to be written. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. Jehoiakim caused this roll to be burned, but ultimately the roll, the word of God in the mouth of Jeremiah, would burn up him and his people. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and upon the men of Judah, all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. This is Jeremiah 36. This was the message that Ezekiel saw written in the scroll before him, God's word concerning the impending judgment of Israel. Jeremiah declared, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It was to be the same with Ezekiel. He is commanded, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll. And the subsequent comments show that this was a taking in and eating of the word of Yahweh. Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. He was to faithfully deliver Yahweh's message to the rebellious people of Israel. It was God's word, and taking it in was a pleasurable experience. Jeremiah found it to be the joy and rejoicing of his heart. And Ezekiel comments, it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, rejoiced the psalmist, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And this is the experience of all who are called to share in the things of the kingdom, but the responsibilities which this knowledge brings often introduce bitterness into the lives of God's servants. Now, this was the case with John, and it was the case with Ezekiel, who rose to his responsibility and went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. The responsibility of those who have enjoyed the pleasurable experience of eating God's word is demonstrated by Jeremiah. He too, as we have seen, ate the word and found it to be sweet to the taste. But he also found it to be bitterness in his belly, as emerges from a consideration of Jeremiah 6, where in verse 11 the prophet laments, I am full of the wrath of the Lord, I am weary of holding it in. Therefore, pour it out upon the children in the streets and upon the gatherings of young men also. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the old folk and the very aged. This is the RSV. Like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, we too, if we have truly eaten the word of God, will see it as our duty to pour it out in warning and exhortation, an exercise that will bring bitterness to us. This section of Ezekiel's prophecy is very similar to chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And in it, the prophet is further instructed concerning his work as Israel's watchman and prepared for the rejection that he would suffer at the hands of his people. verse 6 is interesting. The prophet was to be sent to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. The same sentiment was expressed by the Lord Jesus, who conducted his ministry among these same people of Israel. He declared, "Woe unto thee, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." The reference in Ezekiel to the people of a strange speech reminds us of the description of the Gentile invader of Israel in Deuteronomy, when Israel rejected the Son of Man, thus filling up the cup of their iniquity. This fierce Roman nation came in judgment against her, and Jerusalem was trodden down of the Gentiles. And the interesting thing is that the downtreading of Israel by the Gentiles coincided with the introduction of opportunity for the Gentiles to hearken to the message of salvation. From that time to the present day, there has been the times, and the Greek is kairos, which means opportunity, of the Gentiles. And many indeed hearkened, as God speaking to Ezekiel indicated they would. In these words to the prophet, then, there is the interesting indication of the purpose of God with the Gentiles. In Revelation 10, there is a vision that, as previously noted, bears many similarities to the vision of Ezekiel. And in this chapter, John too eats a book which is in his mouth sweet as honey. Commenting upon this, the angel says to him, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." By this time, in the outworking of the purpose of God, Yahweh was provoking Israel to anger by those who were not a people, and they hearkened. In Ezekiel 3, verses 7 to 8, there is an interesting play upon words which does not appear in the English. "All the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." This word "impudent" in the Hebrew literally means strong of forehead. The word comes from another word which means to be strong. And the prophet's name is derived from this same root, which may be anglicized Ezekiel. That is Ezekiel in the English translations. God is saying to the prophet, with this interesting play upon his own name, "All the house of Israel are strong of forehead, but I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong, chazek, against their foreheads." You see, the word "strong," the Hebrew is chazak, and "thy forehead strong, chazek, against their foreheads." He was indeed made strong by God. That is ale. A, chazek, E, L. Thus strengthened for his work in Israel, he was to be as an adamant harder than flint. The word rendered adamant is usually translated as thorn or briar, but it is used on occasion as a figure for hardness or sharpness, and so in Jeremiah 17 it is rendered diamond. "The sin of Judah is written with the point of a diamond." This seems to be the idea here in Ezekiel. The people of Israel were like flint. They have made their faces harder than a rock. But Ezekiel had been made strong by God. And as a diamond is used to cut flint, so the prophet, speaking the word of Yahweh, would cut the people of Israel to pieces. And with this, we may compare the work of Jesus in Matthew 21, where he applies to himself the words of the psalmist and declares himself to be the stone which the builders rejected. And he then speaks of the AD 70 judgment of Israel, whosoever shall fall on this stone, that is the crucifixion, shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And there's a footnote here for a detailed comment on this. See J. Allfree, The Lord's Mount Olivet Prophecy, page 14. This first of Ezekiel's visions thus comes to a close. The Spirit lifts him up. The glory leaves. He is once again with the exiles by the river Kibar, and here he begins to experience the bitterness of his ministry, although he is very conscious of this strengthening hand of Yahweh. The Hebrew word used here, mar, is derived from marar, meaning to be bitter. The same word from which myrrh, the bitter resin obtained from the terebinth, is obtained. Here it refers to the prophet's anguish as he contemplates his new responsibilities, and the bitterness is associated with heat of spirit. And the word heat is derived from a root denoting hot, ardent, and is used to denote anger or excitement. The NIV here has anger of my spirit, but we cannot contemplate the Son of Man being infuriated by the divine imposition in his life, as suggested by some commentators. For example, Daniel I. Block in his The Book of Ezekiel, volume 1, page 137. However, it is easy to see that Ezekiel's emotions would be in a state of great agitation as he considered the greatness of the work ahead. Aware of his own weakness, he is nevertheless aware of, and no doubt very comforted by, the fact that the hand of the Lord was strong upon him.